Hafide, and welcome to this edition of Heart of Harvest.
He died on the cross for you. That's what's driving this church as far as the gospel message. What more secure position could you ever want?
That was Pastor Marty Heron, the former pastor of Harvest Baptist Church. Heart of Harvest brings you archived sermons from Pastor Heron's nearly 19-year ministry on Guam. Our prayer for this program has always been that these messages from the Word of God would help you develop a heart for God. To download these programs or others, or to learn more about our ministry, we'd invite you to visit the Harvest Baptist Church website at hbcguam.org. That's hbcguam.org. And now, from our Harvest Archive, former Pastor Marty Heron with today's message.
Out of Hebrews 11, we have taken time to kind of march through different individuals. We've mentioned multiple peoples. I'd like to lift out for you, I think, the most famous family of faith. It's the life of Abraham and his descendants. They're extremely important. And I'll tell you why they're important is because the same difficulties and struggles and challenges that they went through are the same you and I go through. I have four of them that the scripture gives out of this family. I'm not going to get through all of it today. I want to give you the first two. Notice, first of all, he mentions the life of Abraham in verse 17. And Abraham, I think, is a simple lesson, number one, that Abraham teaches that every family will have a lifetime of faith cycles. First of all, it starts with a test. What happens when the test comes? Here's what happens. Secondly, there's a truth that always is revealed. And out of that truth, then, God gives a time of tranquility. There's peace. There's calmness. And that's the time that you begin thinking through, meditating on, whoa, what did we learn out of that? And out of that, if we respond rightly to the grace of God, comes a testimony, which is what we have in place here at Hebrews 11. There's a testimony. Number two, he talks about Isaac. And notice what does he say with about Isaac, verse 20. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. Here you find Isaac, God puts into his word that teaches us that the family of faith needs the parents' blessing on their children. It would be good to answer, what in the world is the blessing? And God speaks much about it. Turn back to Genesis 27, if you would. First of all, I've got four questions I'm going to answer. First of all, put down the simple question, what is it? What are we talking about, a blessing? Why in the world did God put in Hebrews 11, talking about faith, the very blessing? Very simply, what is it? The blessing is an expression of fondness. It's an expression of fondness for, confidence in, and recognition of a specific person. But let me move secondly to the question, how can we communicate the blessing? If the blessing is that important to give, even as parents do to children, and we do to others, what is that? How do we do that? Number one, I would suggest to you, number one, it comes through a spoken word. It comes through a spoken word. It was verbal. Notice there are words of affection in this. There's words of affirmation, that they're not just words of affection and affirmation, but there are many times there's words of apology. Any good family that's going to end up being successful as a family is going to recognize there are going to be times in which things are done that are not right. And until there is an affirmation and apology made, not just I'm sorry, but I'm sorry, will you forgive me? I was wrong. That now the relationship is restored because now there's a oneness again. And that's why the hurts and the struggles and the bitterness that so divides any relationship, but particularly relationship between the children and the parents, have to be resolved. Notice, secondly, it's not only a spoken word, but it's a meaningful touch. He says in verse 26 and 7, his father Isaac said to him, come near now and kiss me, my son. And he came near and he kissed him. There's all kinds of studies that put out the fact that the meaningful touch can lower blood pressure. It can protect our children. It keeps children from seeking sexual intimacy prior to marriage because the relationship is there. Someone suggested out of the surveys it added up to 2 years to one's life if there's a meaningful touch that's there. I would suggest to our families that sense in which there's a oneness to be able to say, I want to bestow that blessing. I want to end up being able to communicate that, not through the spoken word only, but just for meaningful touch. Number three, it's not only with a spoken word and a meaningful touch, but affirming your child's value. That's what you find stated when he came near and he said, when you smell my son, you're the smell of a field which the Lord's blessed. At the very heart of the parental blessings, a word picture that communicates, you matter to me. But also number four, I think it also communicates a spiritual vision. That's what he says in verse 28. Therefore, God give you the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth and the plenty of corn and wine. Let people serve thee and nations bow down to thee and lord over your brethren. Let the mother's sons bow down to you. Obviously, again, this is the Abrahamic covenant being passed through, but I think there's a value as well of giving our children a spiritual vision, a sense in which they know that the prayer for his son was to connect the blessings of life with God. God give you these things. Now, I'm going to drop to the third question because I think leaving it here would be incomplete. What happens when the blessing is withheld? I'm going to give you, there are four that are observations. What happens when it doesn't happen? Number one, some people try to earn the blessing. Not only that, but number two, some people search for the blessing elsewhere. They pull back from their parents, they move away, they get bitter, they get hurt, they even get violent. Number three, some people withdraw into a world of isolation and loneliness. They just pull back and they shut down. Or lastly, what happens when a blessing is withheld? Some people strike out in anger. I'd like to close with the fact there's a fourth question I want to leave with you, because if we left it here, I think that there would be a few that would feel like, well, there you go. I'm like, I'm doomed for life. No, you're not. Fourth question, how do you live without a blessing? I mean, maybe you're reading, and in your reading, you say, you know, I'm missing something, or you're hearing this, and you have a hard time relating the truths to your children, because your mind keeps drifting to the fact you didn't receive the blessing. Maybe you are wondering how people are supposed to live without a blessing and give it to your children. Or for that matter, you're a single and you say, God, I didn't have that. What do I do? Two thoughts with this, I close. Important elements. Number one, you learn to receive God's acceptance and approval. You've got to learn to accept that. God himself, he loves you. He said it out of Ephesians 1:6, you are accepted in the beloved. That's not talking about the church. He's talking about God himself. Christ is the beloved. He proved it. Do you remember the whole blessing of the Abrahamic covenant was ultimately salvation to mankind, to you and me? You have that relationship with God the Father through the Son. He loves you. He proved it. He died on the cross for you. That's what's driving this church as far as the gospel message. You are found in Christ. What more secure position could you ever want? You don't have to be insecure. You don't have to be unsettled. It's found in Christ. And that's why, by the way, coming back to the very first point, that he tests you on that every so often. Because he's God. You say, well, what kind of God would end up testing a person to find out whether they really love him? God. Secondly, with this, understand that it's not only you learn to receive God's acceptance and approval, because God himself modeled the importance of that affirmation with his own son. If he did it with his son, he will do it with you as his child of God. But secondly, you gain a blessing by becoming a member of the family of God. And it's interesting to know that Timothy, evidently not having the father, the Greek that was around, because he mentions his mother and his grandmother. So Paul ends up picking up the story and saying, Timothy, my son, 1 Timothy 1:2. He says in 2 Timothy, Timothy, my son. You know what it says to me? It says to me that if in the family of God, I believe that hearing your own opportunity for your spiritual leadership to lead and guide you, because who ended up using the picture of the family of God, a church? God himself did. The genius of how God operates through the ages is a church. It doesn't mean that we dominate and control. It means that we're able to provide within a church a setting in which you have acceptance and approval and love. Does that mean in a family it's perfect? How many of you have perfect families? You've never had problems and difficulties. You've always ended up loving. Dad, never had to fail. Mom, you've always been submissive. Yes, my master, whatever you say. Amen to that. How many of you teenagers? Dad, let me take the trash out again, okay? Teenage daughter, Mom, man, good night. The dishwasher's empty. There's no more dishes to wash. Let's dirty some just so we can do it, and I want to do it for you. I don't think so. Do you understand what I'm saying? The fact is that our church, churches around the globe, they're not perfect. They're not a club. They're not a museum. They're a hospital. They're a family. And with that, understanding, therefore, that I didn't have it with my mom and dad. You have it with others. You're a family of God. Don't go through the rest of your life thinking, oh, I don't have this blessing. That's not what I'm suggesting. I'm just saying to you that for whatever reasons that God himself said, there is a blessing that I'm giving with salvation, but there's an element in which we can learn to be able to be a blessing to others. Say, hey, I care about you. You know what? Lord, bless you. I want to bless you. Some of you singles have more impact than some of these teenagers who don't have a mom and dad here in church. Some of you are closer to people in our church than you are with your own biological family. Is that wrong? I don't think so. I think it's a constant sense in which you can be secure to know, God, I've had security in Christ. I'm thankful for the body of Christ, the visible expression of God's love. But boy, don't find yourself pursuing other ways to try and find this blessing, because we got a whole world trying to do that. You know, there's multiple stories of the military, and particularly in the Civil War, but one caught my attention a number of years ago, because during the Civil War in 1862, it was actually Robert E. Lee, who was with his men near Harrison's Landing in Virginia. The Confederate Army South was on the other side of that narrow strip of land. And during the night, Captain E. Lee had heard the moan of a soldier who lay mortally wounded on the field. Not knowing if he was really a Union soldier from the North or someone from the South, a soldier, he decided to risk his life, and he brought that stricken man back across the line. He reached the soldier and began pulling him back towards encampment, which he did, and he discovered on the way that it was a Confederate soldier, someone from the South, their enemy, and he was dead. The captain lit a lantern and suddenly caught his breath. He went numb with shock, because in the dim light of that lantern, he saw the face of the soldier. It was his son, a son that had been studying music in the South when the war broke out, and he enlisted in the Confederate Army of the South. His dad was a captain in the Northern Army, and his heartbroken father wanted to have a funeral, so he asked permission to give his son a full military burial, even though his son was on the enemy's side. The captain's request was partially granted. See, he asked if he could have a group of Army band members play a dirge for his son at the funeral, but he was refused. In its place, they said, we'll not give you a band, but we'll give you one instrument. And he loaned him the bugler, the musician. And the captain had asked that this bugler play a series of 24 notes that were in the pocket of his son's uniform that he had pulled out and found. And so, at the boy's funeral, that haunting single melody was played at that boy's funeral that became a song that was not just at his funeral, began at the closure of his funeral, but the closure of every single day of many a military base, and it was what we now know as TAPS. And when people hear that sound and that song, it's a reminder that there's a closure. It's a closure to a day, there's a closure to a life, but it's not a closure to a testimony, my friend. Those listed in Hebrews 11 are lives that still speak, because there was a blessing given to a family, although flawed, was used because they were living by faith. That relationship with God through Christ makes you most secure. An expression then on a horizontal level with your mom, your dad, or you mom and dad towards your child is so important because they need a blessing.
That was Pastor Marty Herron, the former pastor of Harvest Baptist Church on Guam. Heart of Harvest brings you archived messages from Pastor Herron's nearly 19-year ministry at the church. You can download sermons from this archive at hbcguam.org/HOH for Heart of Harvest. All the information you need to send us a comment or question can also be found at hbcguam.org/HOH. Today's teaching from the Word of God was intended to help you develop a heart for God. Join us again next time, and thanks for listening to Heart of Harvest.